Welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 14, Working Class Movements. And our topic is the movement in the post-independence period. The post-independence period also saw the formation of Bharatiya Mazdoor Sangh, BMS, in 1955, affiliated to Jan Sangh, which was formed in 1952. In 1970, following the split in the Communist Party of India in 1964, the AITUC split, leading to the formation of the Center of Indian Trade Unions, CITU, which was affiliated to the newly formed Communist Party of India, Marxist, or the CPM. Thus, we find that the trade union movement, which began with a central organization, the AITUC, in 1920, has become divided into five major central organizations by 1970s. In the post-independence period, the state became the sole arbitrator in the relationship between the industry and the working class. During this period, the main concern of government was to achieve growth, industrial peace, and proper management of the conflict between workers and the management. In order to achieve these goals, the state passed laws under the Industrial Dispute Act 1947 and introduced the Labor Relations Bill and Trade Union Bills in 1949. The economic recession in the late 1960s caused economic hardships for the workers in the Bombay. It was reflected in the growing unemployment and financial burden of the workers. Inability of the traditional trade unions to solve problems of the working class provided a fertile ground for the birth and growth of Shiv Sena. Shiv Sena founded a trade union, the Bharatiya Kamgar Sena. It emerged as an alternative to the traditional trade unions. But Bharatiya Kamgar Sena divided the working class on the ethnic ground. It said that the problems of the working class were caused by the large number of workers who had come from other regions of the country, especially South India. The Shiv Sena argued that if the outsiders left Bombay, the workers who are native of the Maharashtra can get employment and lead better life. In the due course of time, the Shiv Sena directed its attack against the communists. Shiv Sena's movement divided the working class on ethnic basis, and it gave blow to the unity of the working class in Bombay. This division, once created, continued in the later period. Some argue that the Shiv Sena worked on behalf of the industrialists to divide the working class. However, the Bharatiya Kamgar Sena also could not satisfy the workers. It not only generated a feeling of insecurity among the non-Maharashtrian workers, but also divided them on the ethnic and communal lines. By the mid-1970s, there was a general feeling among different social groups, the country against the organized traditional political institutions and processes like political parties and organizations affiliated to them, like trade unions, elections, professional political leaders. This created resentment against such notion of politics. Any alternative to such politics or anything political which could be available to the people attracted their support to the considerable extent. During the 1970s, 1980s, such alternatives emerged in the form of independent leaders unaffiliated to any traditional political party, any party, a political or organizations. Most significant among these include Datta Samant, A.K. Roy, Shankar Guha, Nihoge, Ella Bhatt, Working Women's Forum Chennai, Self-Employment Women's Association Gujarat, Society for Technology and Development Himachal Pradesh, AMA, Sangrana Orissa, Kela Dinesh Bedi Kela, and Khadkach Patra Kastkari Panchayat Maharashtra. These leaders and organizations, independent in terms of not being affiliated to any party directly or indirectly, are also less hierarchical and bureaucratic, but mostly do not believe in radical changes. These organizations help their members to improve their conditions. However, they are not a substitute for the trade unions. The strikes of workers in the textile industry and railways during 1970s and 1980s are considered to be the most significant developments in the history of the working class movement in the post-independence period. In 1982-83, the textile workers of Bombay were mobilized into strike, which was considered to have few parallels in the working class movement in the country. Dissatisfied with the traditional leadership and the trade unions, the textile workers of the Bombay responded to the call of a few leaders and organizations. Datta Samant, the president of the Maharashtra Girni Kamgar Union, MGKU, was able to mobilize a large section of textile workers of Bombay. His focus of mobilization was mainly the economic issues. Salim Lakhra observes that his emphasis on economic issues opened him to the accusation of economism and neglect of the class-based political issues. Datta Samant posed a challenge to the leadership of other trade unions, especially the Shiv Sena affiliate, the Bharatiya Kamgar Sena, and the Rashtriya Mill Mazdoor Sangh, RMMS, affiliated to the Indian National Trade Union Congress, INTUC. Though the strike did not achieve its goals, it did not damage the status of Datta Samant amongst the workers. In 1974, the railway workers affiliated to the main trade unions except the Congress-affiliated INTUC organized a nationwide strike. The rail operations came to be a halt during the strike. The government responded with a strong anti-worker stand and tried to break the strike. Unable to sustain the strike in the face of government's recalcitrant attitude, the workers could not continue the strike. A few years after this strike, the Congress-led government imposed emergency during 1975 to 1977 in the country and introduced measures which restrained the workers to strike. In fact, as E.A. Ramaswamy observes, the government has largely favored the management in the negotiations between the management and the striking workers. With some exceptions, the studies generally focus on the movements of the organized and the formal sectors. While the political parties, especially those belonging to the left, have organized the agricultural laborers, Sometimes the agricultural laborers have launched agitations without the leadership of trade unions on issues relating to the wages, the non-economic coercion on them, decrease in the time of working. For example, harvesters belonging to the low caste went on strike in the early 1980s in the village of Western UP. They demanded increase in the wages and number of rotis served to them in the breakfast, increase in the sheaves for harvesting the wheat. In the agitation, the harvesters showed a remarkable unity. The strike was observed at the peak season of harvesting in April for 4 days. The sanctions imposed by the Jat landowning classes on the agitating harvesters did not deter them. Ultimately, the strike resulted in some success. The wages, the size of sheaves, and number of rotis were increased. There are number of examples of such protest by the agricultural laborers launched at their initiative. In several instances, the protest also assumes the form of what James Scott calls everyday forms of resistance. Jan Berman, in his Footloose Labor, Working in the India's Informal Economic, discusses the collective action of the seasonal migrant workers, which took place around 1983 in the brick works near Vadodara in Gujarat. At the initiative of local social activists, a trade union was set up there. However, their agitation did not meet any success. The working class movement in India is constrained by several factors. H.I. Rudolph and S.H. Rudolph argue that the organized working class forms a very small section of working population in India. Therefore, there is no class politics in the country. Instead, Indian politics is a centrist politics. Such a statement overlooks the presence of a large number of trade unions and their mobilization of working class from time to time. No doubt, the rise of identity politics based on caste, language, religion, tribe, region, etc., especially from the last two decades of the 20th century, pose serious challenges to unite the working class on their issues. The encouragement to the market, with the declining role of the state as part of the globalization agenda, has further relegated the issues of working classes to the background. Now, the summary of the unit. The modern working class movement in India is a result of the introduction of capitalist economy by the colonial government. The plantations, railways, cotton and jute mills, coal mining and various other industries made their appearance in colonial India. Initially, most of the capital was British, while the certain industries such as cotton, textile and iron and steel were Indian owned. Lakhs of workers were recruited for running these concerns. The abysmal working and living conditions in the early decades gave rise to protest and ultimately led to movement among the workers. The trade unions, which emerged in later on, provided organized expression to these early protests and movements. The organized struggles of the working class resulted in the betterment of their conditions. There were, however, many problems with these unions as they did not and could not cover the majority of workers. Thus, there emerged several other organizations of the working class which were not part of these unions. Here we want to wind up this lecture and we have come to the end of the unit. Thank you so much for your attention.